So we are on Module 8, page 1, Finances by Kingdom Principles. Last time, we began Finances by Kingdom Principles, and we saw that we needed to be aligned, to walk in alignment. So we covered alignment. Alignment of a person would be your body being submitted to your mind being submitted to your soul being submitted to your heart being submitted to your spirit, and of course your spirit is perfect. God lives in your spirit. So your spirit is submitted to God. Amen? But we need that alignment in the way we live our life. God first, the Bible second, the Holy Spirit. That's how we're led through the day. We need an alignment within the church and within the family. Children submitted to the mother, mother submitted to the husband, father, and husband, father being submitted to Jesus, to the Word of God. That's the way God set it up to be. That's the way God wants it to be. That is the way it's going to be. So the question is, are we going to line up and do it God's way? Today we go into part B, Finances by Kingdom Principles, part B, Living to Give. Living to Give. We live to give. We live to give. And the acronym I've chosen to use is Love and God Succeed. Love and God Succeed. First law is love. Second word is and. Love and God Succeed, L-A-G-S. Love, authority, law of Genesis, and spirit. Law of the spirit. So the law of love, the law of authority, the law of Genesis, and the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That takes us from creation, for God is love, all the way until the new millennium. Because it's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that is going to have us here when Jesus returns and move us into a new millennial period. So, we live to give. You might stop and examine your heart. Am I living to give? Most people would say no. I don't see myself as living to give. Well, interestingly enough, the Bible says love never fails. That's unchangeable. Love never fails. But the only thing that doesn't change is God. So fortunately, the Bible says God is love. Otherwise, we'd have a really major logical problem. So love never fails. God created us out of love because he loved us. God gave us everything because he loved us. And all the prophets and all the laws are contained in the commandment, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, this love is the agape love of God. An agape love is an outward focused love. It is a giving love. See, people fall in love. You know, this cute young man meets this cute young girl, and the man falls in love with the girl, and what he wants the girl. He wants to hold her hand. He wants to be around her all the time. He wants her to be looking at him with puppy eyes. He wants, I want this, I want this, I want this from her. I want this from her, I want this from her. That's not agape love. Agape love is giving, giving, giving. Are there elements of agape love in a natural love? Yes. Some of it should be anyway. But agape love is always giving. So to the extent that we're not walking in agape love, to that extent we're not fulfilling the laws and the prophets. To that extent we're not living by the first law of the kingdom. And since agape love is giving, then we're living to live in agape love, which means we're living to give. We're here to give. So evaluate yourself. How much of a giver are you? If you're not a giver, you're really missing the boat. You're really missing the boat. And in this case, the boat is very similar to Noah's Ark. You don't want to miss this boat. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, living to give. Why are we living to give? People, secular people in general, and much of the church body, they're focused on managing their lives, having enough to get by, planning the future. All these things aren't scriptural. Oh my gosh, I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to study, get a job. I'm going to buy a house and so forth. And the Lord says, take no thought for tomorrow. Yeah. Right? He says, you want to be successful? Study my word. All this comes out of mammon. And you can't serve God and mammon. That doesn't mean we can't do some of these things to help along the way. But it means that should not be your focus. You know, what I really want to get across to you is we've been programmed since before birth to sin. We've been programmed from before we were born to have sin around us and sin in us and to live a life of sin, to live a life of mammon so the devil can kill us. Do you know how hard it is to kill you? The devil has been working to set you up to kill you from before you were born. From the moment you were conceived, he's been setting you up to kill you. And he still hasn't succeeded. And most of you in here are probably the past 20 or 30. That's how hard you are to kill. Because you're made in the image and likeness of God. And that power is in you. And that love is in you. But if we keep moving away from that love, if we keep living a selfish life, a life of strife, then sooner or later he'll get you. Adam. Took him 930 years to kill Adam. And the dude wasn't born again. In fact, his spirit was dead. And his body was so imbued with life and the power of God. And his battery of life was so charged up from the time he spent with God that it took 930 years to unwind. God says, your job is to live to give. And you do that by starting by chasing the blesser, not by chasing the blessings, not by being focused on what am I going to have tomorrow and next year. No, you chase God and let him worry about tomorrow and next year. For Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2 says, if you chase God, the blessing will chase you down. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures up in earth. And it goes all the way down to 23, which is, if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be in darkness. Well, if your eye isn't evil, if you're living a life where you're focused on carnality, where you're focused on providing for yourself, where you're focused on doing everything contradictory to the word of God, then yes, there's a lot of evil coming out of you and through your eyes. Now, verse 24, said, if your eye is evil, then verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Why would he follow that up? If your eye be evil in Matthew 6, 23, if your eye be evil, then follows that up, no man can serve two masters. Because we've been brainwashed since we were born to serve mammon. And those believers who decide we don't want to serve this world and this culture, they have the right concept, but the wrong implementation. So, for example, the people like the Amish and I guess the Mennonites, There's people who have said, we're going to separate ourselves from the world. God says, come out of them. So they come out of the 21st century and they go back to what? The 15th century. They're still in them, just at a different point in time. I mean, I don't see any horse and buggy in the Garden of Eden. Coming out of them starts with our focus. And the focus is love. We are children of agape love, and we live to give. And if we have that focus, that you cannot serve God and mammon, he goes through all the things we worry about and we are concerned about. And it comes to verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So how do you get your food, clothing, shelter, protection? How do you get all the things of life? And God tells you, you seek him. And the word means seek and keep on seeking. It doesn't mean get born again and then forget him. Seeking him, the first step is getting born again. And then the intimacy starts. Then you move into lordship. Seek him and keep on seeking. And then he'll take care of all these needs that you have. He'll provide your food, shelter, clothing, protection. Protection from sickness and disease. So you don't have to spend what? $1,000 a month, or whatever people spend on medical insurance. Because he takes care of all your needs. So if he is focused, if he's focused on taking care of you, if as you chase him, the blessings have been commanded to chase you down, then why do we work? Why do we work? Why not kick back and be so heavenly minded that people might think you're no earthly good? Why do we work? Because the Word of God says you must work. We're created to be productive. We're created to inherit this earth, establish his kingdom over this earth, and make it a Garden of Eden. And make it a Garden of Eden. That's why we work. Now when we work, What do we do with the things we get? We don't build barns and save them up, for sure. We give it away. The purpose of working is to give. If we look at Ephesians 4:28. It says in the King James starting 26, be ye angry and sin not. Now I think we understand that means that if you get angry, don't get angry in a way that is sinful. I don't think we've seen it as a commandment for God. We should always, all of us should be walking around being angry. Right? We don't see that. He's not saying, hey, I want you guys to be angry, man. Like the angry birds. No. Okay? No, that's not what he's saying. He's really saying, if you do get angry, don't get angry in a sinful manner. Jesus got angry, but it wasn't in a sinful manner. Neither give place to the devil. Then it goes on to say, neither give place to the devil. Now, since 26 is telling you, if you're angry, don't sin. It's already telling you, don't give place to the devil. Because that's what sinning is, giving place to the devil. So I don't think verse 27 is really following up 26 so much as it's preceding 28. Be angry, but don't sin. Neither give place to the devil. Okay. So I'm gonna be angry. I'm not gonna sin. Whereas do I not give place to the devil? Let him that stole steal no more. That's one place. If you've been stealing, stop doing it. If you've been stealing from God, most of all, by not tithing, stop it. If you've been stealing from anybody, anything, stop doing it. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Why? Why is he going to work? Well, one is to stop stealing. that he may have to give to him that need. See, once he starts working, he is seeking the kingdom of God and God's way. God's way is be work and be productive. Once he starts doing that, God will provide for him food, shelter, clothing, and protection. But that which comes of his working is to give and help others. We have been so brainwashed that we think we're working to put food on the table. And God says, hey, if you build a house without my help, you're laboring in vain. For a believer, work is always doing what God wants us to do. Whether it be kicking back in prayer for 2 hours, whether it be baking a cake for your neighbor. Lord once had me, I got home once real late, maybe 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning. And as soon as I got home, before I go to bed, as was my habit then, and I'm trying to get back into it, I said, Lord, is there anything I can do for you before I go to sleep? He says, yes. I said, what is that? He says, take a cake to your neighbor at 2 or 3 in the morning. At least he didn't say bake it. I already had a cake. Already had one, okay? Recently bought cake. He says, take it to your neighbor. I said, do you know what time it is? No, I didn't, but I thought it. I said, okay. So I went to the neighbor, whom, by the way, I did not know. Went to the neighbor's house, knocked on it, and after a while, he opened the door. Turned out he was about to commit suicide. And because he loved cake, he didn't kill himself. I guess. Anyway, the word of God, I'm sure, the word of God and cake made a big difference. He did not kill himself. So, it says very clearly here, the purpose of working is to have to give. Because that's consistent with the fact that we are givers. Because we are givers, 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, God will provide the seed to the sower. So nobody has any excuse for not giving. As long as they are working, and working is working unto the Lord. Whatever you do unto the Lord. If you spend 8 hours a day doing what God tells you to do, then you look to him to pay you. If you spend 8 hours a day working for a company, Arco, you still look to God to pay you, not Arco. No matter what you do, you're working as unto the Lord. So your quality should be good, and you look to him to pay you and to meet your needs. You don't look to man. And so if you're working unto the Lord 8 hours a day in ministry, let's say in a food kitchen, and no money is coming in, God has promised to give seed to the sower. So when the seed comes in, don't eat it. You know, farmers, after they reap their crop, they always save the best seed for replanting. And they eat the rest. People who are, let's say, running a grocery store, the money comes in, they don't spend all the money that comes in. They have to save enough money to buy more product, so they have more product to sell. So when the seed comes in, if you have no money and somebody gives you $1 or $10 or $200, don't eat it. I mean, once I had gone with no money, I'd gone 2 weeks. I was learning this process. I'd gone 2 weeks without eating, and then I got $200, a check for $200. And I'm driving to go cash the check so I can buy some food, and there's a hitchhiker, and God says, pick him up. So I picked up this man, and I led him to the Lord in a short time, and then God says, give him the $200. I said, okay. So I went to a casino. This was in Las Vegas. Cashed it at the casino place. And gave him the $200. I mean, he was just absolutely amazed. You know, he's going to hell 1 minute and now he's born again. You know, spirit filled, he's praying in tongues, he's seen miracles, and now he's got $200. He says, can I do anything for you? And I said, sure you can. You can buy me breakfast. I haven't eaten for 2 weeks. See, that was the seed. I'm not going to eat my seed. I was going to eat part of it, don't understand me. But in this case, the whole thing was a seed. I didn't know that. I thought, well, part of it would be a seed. The whole thing was a seed. Don't eat your seed. Now, in terms of giving, understand that when you give to the poor, you're lending to God. You're lending to God, and when you need it back, God will provide. You're lending to God. He will repay you, and he'll repay you when you need it. Now, God does not think much of poverty. You know, there are no poor people in heaven. There's no poor people in the Garden of Eden. There won't be any poor people in the millennial kingdom. God says, a poor man is better than a liar. Okay? That's what it says. A poor man is better than a liar. No Christian is poor. Every Christian has the riches of heaven. They have Jesus. They have eternal life. No Christian is poor. But no Christian should have a lack in the financial area either. Okay? Every Christian has the right to use the name of Jesus to open up anything they need to have every blessing they need. So no Christian is poor, but some of them think they are. Some of them think their prosperity is measured by how much money is in their checking account, and they don't know how to use the name of God, name of Jesus, to put the money in their checking account. When you give food, clothing, and shelter, you're giving to Jesus, and he'll repay you. Visiting the sick and the imprisoned is doing that for Jesus. It's all giving. When I was getting started, I'd read the Bible, and whatever it says to do, I would do it. You talk about the things you do, you know, give to the poor, water, visit the sick, go to prison. I said, well, I have to do all that, even one time. So I prayed for God would open the way to do it. The only one that was in a challenge was a prison. And eventually, I visited prisoners in prison that God opened the way to go. And it's not exactly a fun experience, okay? But I did it. Acts 20:35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. For a lot of reasons. But one of them is when you give, you initiate the law of Genesis. And what you give comes back to you. Right? So we live to give. The purpose of our living is to give. The primary thing we should give should be salvation. Freely have you received, freely give. We have received all the blessings of heaven. We should be walking with wealth and riches in our home. We should be able to heal everybody, and we give it all away. Purpose is to give it all away. But as you give it, it comes back to you. So we live to give, but because when we need things, we give to live, we plant seeds to get back the things that we need. Kingdom of God is like a seed. We are like farmers. You plant that which you want, and it comes back to you. Okay? You plant what you want, and it comes back to you. Whatever you want, you plant it, it comes back. And I don't have time to give a lot of examples. But I remember when we planted $300 into a ministry to take down to Jamaica medical equipment. My mentor, Bishop Rowe, had gone to some hospitals down there and was really touched because the people had no wheelchairs. They had very little medical equipment. And so we took up an offering. We got $300. We sold it to him. And we prayed that God would multiply it 100-fold. And I introduced him to a friend of mine named Herb, who just bought a medical supply company. And I said, call this man, maybe he can help. And Herb gave him $30,000 worth of brand new wheelchairs. That's 100 times 300. And he wrote a little article about it, and it was picked up by a magazine or something, a small paper and a bigger paper, and got published in many places. Pretty soon, people were calling us. They were closing our hospital. They gave us all the equipment. We had Western Airlines and Continental Airlines giving us free shipping to Jamaica. And when we shipped on, I quit counting at $2 million. When we shipped $2 million U.S. to Jamaica, I got out of the project. All from suing $300. Amen? So, John 8:31 and 32. If you continue in the word of prosperity, it will set you free. We want to be blessed on every wave. So give at every opportunity to be blessed on every wave. I can't stress that too much, you know. It's not a question of how much money you have. It's a question of how you manage your money. If all you have to give for the month is $10 and you're going to 10 to 20 services, then give 50 cents a service. Give on every wave. And we come back on every wave. In Genesis chapter 1, many times God writes, God says that, you know, he created the birds and they reproduced after its own kind, and the trees reproduced after its own kind. He shows the law of Genesis in Genesis 1. But it was not taught to man. Of all the things he told Adam, he didn't teach him about the law of Genesis. Because in the Garden of Eden, there's no need for it. All you're supposed to be doing in the Garden of Eden is obeying God, which means you're doing things God's way, which means you don't need to know about the consequences. So he never taught the law of Genesis to Adam. Now, when Adam sinned and they were put out of the garden, the word deteriorated. And let's pick it up in Genesis 8. In the Garden of Eden, Adam was taught love, the law of love, and he was taught authority. Authority was given to him. But the law of Genesis was not taught to mankind until Genesis 8. This is after the flood. So in Genesis 8, verse 20, Noah built an ark, and after the ark, he built an altar after the flood, took all the clean animals, and he offered burnt offerings. And then 21, the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for man's sake. Okay? And then going on to verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That is an example of seed time and harvest. No, he says, while the earth remains. Does that give you an idea the earth may not always be there? He said, while it remains. Jesus says, heaven and earth, heaven and earth may pass away. But the word of God shall never pass away. See, the earth is going to go. Here it says, while the earth remains, it's going to go. But by that time, we're going to be living in the millennial kingdom, in the new Jerusalem. So the earth is going to pass away. No. Noah was told, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. This is the very same thing, exact words that God told Adam. Correct? Now, if you look at Noah, we know exactly what happened. Man was evil, man sinned, all of mankind sinned, came all the way down to one man. And that one man, by his actions, condemned the earth. They were all killed, and that one man saved his souls, his family. But suppose that one man had not been righteous. What do you think would have happened? It's very clear. God would have started over. What would he have done? He'd have picked a nice place, maybe Jamaica, and created a garden in one corner of Jamaica. And out of the earth, he'd have created a man and says, your name is Adam number two, or some other name. And he'd start over. And the question is, how many times did he start over before Adam? And we don't know. But the fact that he says replenish means to plenish again. Replenish means to fill again. That word tells you that he had been doing something before. And that's why when the children of God went out, there were beings there that they could intermarry with. The children of God interacted with the people on earth. Now, why am I telling you all this? Ancient history? Not at all. Because Jesus says, when I come back, shall I find faith? See? That's what God said. When I come down and check in mankind, am I going to find faith? The faith of a Noah who's for 100 years been building a boat? Been building an ark for 100 years? Am I going to find that kind of faith so I can continue my project? Or will I have to start over? And he came down and Noah found favor with God. And so he continued. And because of that, we're here today. And Jesus says, when I return, shall I find faith? The faith for people to believe the word of God. Which word of God is, if you believe in me, if you're alive and you believe in me, you shall never die. Why? Because I'm life. And I live inside you. And the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. See, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. Take the word Christ Jesus, the expression Christ Jesus, the name, and replace it with what? With life. The Lord of the spirit of life in life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Sin produces death, but we are living in life, and life is living in us. Do we have faith to believe that? Do we have faith to cross over from this desert that we're in, this wicked world, over the river of death into a land where we live and we know the devil can't kill us? When Jesus returns, will he find favor of the people who are building their spiritual ark to save themselves and their families? To do things God's way? To living by the financial principles of the kingdom? Live in alignment. Live to give. And when you want something, give it away and we'll come back to you. Give it away and we'll come back to you. You know, one man said to me, I've been tithing for years and I don't see the financial blessings in my life. Well, you're alive. You have more stuff to store than you have space. You have food, shelter, clothing, and he has protection to the extent that he doesn't open his mouth and speak curses on himself. But where does it come back? How does it come back? By the law of giving and receiving. You give your tithes, you get back food, shelter, clothing, and protection. You give your offering, and whatever you sow comes back. In the Garden of Eden, God did not need to tell them that whatever you sow comes back, because all you had to sow was love and doing things God's way. But outside of God and Eden, he wants you to know, whatever you sow comes back. Every bad word is going to come back. Every hateful expression will come back, unless you cancel them. Whatever you sow comes back. You sow poverty thinking, well, poverty thinking is going to come back. Look at what you want and sow it. And sow it in faith, knowing that you're going to be here when Jesus returns. Amen? Thank you all for your time.